Good morning, First Baptist Lufkin. It's a joy to be here. Allow me to begin by saying thank you to my friend and colleague, Mark Newton, for the invitation to be here at this ordination service. As it happens, when Adeline graduates in the 5 weeks to which Mark spoke, Mark Newton will be the graduation speaker. So I anticipate that many of you will be there on that occasion to support not only Adeline, but also Mark. So it will be good to see you again. In coming this morning, I bring to you greetings from Baylor University and from the students, faculty, and staff of Baylor's George W. Truett Theological Seminary. It hurts to be a Baylor Bear this morning, as in Jalen Hurts. But this too shall pass. For those of you who don't care about football, may I rise up and call you blessed. And Jalen Hurts happens to be the quarterback for the Oklahoma Sooners, who really took it to us in the second half. Today, I join in celebrating the ordination of Katie and Caitlin and Adeline and Dan. God has graced them, He's gifted them, as we've heard, to bear winsome witness to the good news that is in Jesus Christ. That God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not counting our sins against us, and entrusted to us the ministry of reconciliation. This is that to which they are being called, and that to which they have been and are being entrusted. So this is good. This is fitting. And it's a joy for me to add my voice to the voices of Mark, and to Donna, and to Glenn, and to Jenny, and to Ryan. This morning has given me both reason and occasion to recall my own ordination service. It's been a few years by now, some 25 in fact. It was in January of 1993 when the First Baptist Church of Waco set me aside for ministry. Gospel ministry to be ordained into the same. I've forgotten a good bit about that frosty January evening. In fact, I've forgotten a good bit about a lot of things since now and then. Things become increasingly foggy these days, particularly names that I can't recall as I wish that I could. But as I look back on that day, I took away with me particularly the prayers of blessing and the laying on of hands. Derived from ancient Jewish practice, the early church would lay hands upon those set apart for ministry and service, be it the seven in Acts 6, or Barnabas and Saul as in Acts 13, or other elders and leaders upon whom the church laid hands and to which text refer, such as Acts 14 or 1 Timothy 4 or Hebrews 6. In fact, it's so common, the writer of Hebrews said, "Let us lay aside elementary things such as the laying on of hands." In reflecting upon the practice of the laying on of hands, it occurred to me that there are other New Testament texts that teach us how we can use our hands in Christian life and ministry. First of all, 1 Timothy 2:8 says that people are called to lift up holy hands without anger or disputing. As those being ordained to and as those ordaining, we do well to pray to God with outstretched hands, with humble hearts, not just today, but every day. We do well, in the words of 1 Thessalonians, to rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks. For this is God's will for us in Christ Jesus. It's true that prayer can become perfunctory or obligatory, but it ought not be, and it doesn't have to be. It should buttress and buoy. It should, in fact, empower and enliven our work and witness. It's part and parcel of our worship, not just in church, but as we do church and as we are church in the world. Even as our hands are to be holy, they're also to be healing hands, helping hands. Even as Jesus was a person of prayer and piety, dedication and devotion, he was also a Lord who was actively engaged in ministry, whether it was blessing a child with his hands, in spite of the disciples' objections, or whether it was outstretched hands to heal the sick, the last, the least. He extended his hands to help, not to hurt. As the new Moses, as one greater than Moses, there were all kinds of Joshuas that Jesus blessed, and that we can too. As we lift up holy hands and we stretch out helping hands, we can rest assured that the Lord Jesus is at the right hand of God. The one with nail-scarred hands is interceding on our behalf and extending his life and love in the midst of the rough and tumble, the nitty and the gritty that is life and ministry. Because of Jesus' power and presence, his example, his existence, we do not need to jockey for position. We do not need to angle for authority. Remember, as Jesus had predicted his death and burial and resurrection for the third time en route to Jerusalem, James and John decided to stride up alongside Jesus and ask if they could be at either side of Jesus in glory. Jesus asked if they were able to drink the cup that he would drink, if they were able to be baptized with which the baptism that he would be baptized with. And they said, perhaps glibly, all too quickly, "We can." And Jesus said, "Well, you will. But as to who gets to sit on either side of me in glory, I don't pass out heavenly seating assignments. This has been chosen by the one by whom it's been chosen." And so we see that heavenly seating assignments will sort themselves out in due time. But for the time being, we recall that which Jesus himself said, that the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Ordination, the laying on of hands then, is an invitation and call for each of us to live life with lifted, outstretched, open hands. And in so doing, we can walk hand in hand with others, but most importantly, with the Lord of agony and glory, who summons and sustains our service. Amen.